Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Week 17 in the NFL. Tonight, Monday Night Football, it's Buffalo against Cincinnati, and then we head into Week 18, and there's a lot on the line for a lot of teams, and it's not just teams that are already in the playoffs. You know, they go, obviously, we still got positioning, like what seed you're going to get, what teams are still needing to get in. There's been really, really good stories, and there's also been some stories of teams who've gone in the opposite direction. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com, on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. That is Progressive. We're getting Josh up and running. So as I was saying earlier, you got a team like Miami that looked like a lock, not only a lock, but a team that was just going to be one of the top teams in the AFC. We always do this, by the way, with the caveat of injuries, right? Whenever we see a team midway through the season, we go, yeah, well, barring injury. But for the Dolphins, it really has been injury. As a lot of players missed yesterday. Tua has been in the concussion protocol. Teddy Bridgewater left. Skylar Thompson came in. It's a real situation for the quarterback situation in Miami. That and a bunch of other things. Josh Alper joins us, ProFootballTalk.com. How are you, Josh?
I'm great.
Thank you so much for joining us. And then Happy New Year to you, by the way. These Week 17, the most intriguing team going into the final week with a team with something to play for, which is the team you're looking at in Week 18 with either a chance to get in or maybe even better their situation?
I think it's the Packers. I think it's watching them and the Lions. I think that game, the groove that the Packers have found themselves in, the belief they clearly have after, you know, so much struggling earlier this season, it's Aaron Rodgers. They're going to be at Lambeau against the Lion team that, you know, has their own chance to take a big swing. I think that's the game for me this weekend that really is the most appealing on the schedule. I think it's, you know, I think the Jaguars are interesting. I think it'll be curious to see how the Eagles and Giants play things on Sunday in that game for them, but for me it's really the Packers, because I look at that team as one that, depending on how things play out, I mean, I wouldn't want any part of Aaron Rodgers in the first round of the playoffs. And if it's that 49ers game and he's going back home to Northern California, wow, I think that's going to be one of the biggest playoff games we've seen in years.
What about the turnaround for the Packers? It's a four-game win streak. It's three after their bye week. It looked dead in the water. But is it just Aaron Rodgers? What else is working for the Packers?
No, look at it yesterday. Special teams touchdown,
yep.
Defensive touchdown. I mean, completely shut down Justin Jefferson. You know, give Jair Alexander all the credit in the world. He poked the bear in the cage, and then he slapped the bear around on Sunday. It was a really, really impressive performance across the board for a team that, you know, was struggling across the board. And now I think, you know, we talk about teams peaking at the right time, and that's what I see in Green Bay. And, you know, I think it's all the better that they're going to have to play a Lions team that's kind of in the same boat. Albeit that big stumble in Week 16, which now looms pretty huge for them.
Speaking of the Lions, as people were talking about Jared Goff being a placeholder, is he now solidifying himself as their quarterback of the future?
I think that if you're the Lions, you look at the way your team is built right now, and if you were to go into this offseason and focus on getting better defensively, certainly, and, you know, filling in on the margins on offense, that you feel you can win with Jared Goff, and I think you have every reason to believe that. You're not going to be picking high enough with your pick, obviously, to get a quarterback. The Rams pick makes it more interesting, but I don't know why you'd sell out to go that route when you watch guys like Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones fail to live up to expectations.
Give me your read on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because if I'm looking at them and I go, look, I kind of get it. If you're Tom Brady, it's the playoffs. Just get me to the playoffs. But how do you take the temperature of this team that has not been impressive this season, but yet still has a guy that knows how to get through a postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I think they've put all their eggs in the basket of we know how to do just enough to get there, and then when the time is right, we know how to get the job done there. They're going to be playing at home. They're going to probably be playing a Cowboys team that Tom Brady has never lost to. That, you know, to go on the road from there, if they had to go play the 49ers on the road or the Eagles on the road, it's tougher. But it doesn't feel impossible because it's Tom Brady. And I think that, you know, you saw yesterday, if he and Mike Evans can get dialed in like that, if the defense can come up and make a few plays each game that give them time, I think that it's an absolute formula that can work. It's very similar to the Green Bay one. I don't want to play Tom Brady in January. I don't want to play Tom Brady in February. And he's there, and I like his chances, you know, to stay there a lot more than I would a lot of other quarterbacks with a similar, you know, resume going into the playoffs.
The Steelers win last night. They need a win, but they also need some help to make the postseason. But if they do, if they win, and even if they don't get in to the postseason, what does it say about Tomlin, the organization, and Kenny Pickett?
Well, I think the thing you have to love about Kenny Pickett is how he plays his best in the biggest spots of the game. Now, you'd like a more dynamic offense and one that doesn't leave you constantly trying to win games in the final minutes. But if you've got to do it, you know, you'd like to see it go through this crucible as a rookie and understand what you have in on hand. And look, Mike Tomlin gets a lot of criticism, and I think some of it's right. This team keeps starting 2-6, 2-5, whatever it is, and having to make up for lost ground at the end of the year. Clearly they have to do something to get to be better earlier in the season and be better earlier in games. But I don't know of a coach who has more buy-in from his players, who has more obvious support for what he's doing from his players than Tomlin. And to finish out this year with a winning record, yeah, playoffs or not, it's one of the better coaching jobs you'll see around the league this season. There's been a lot of really good ones, but it is a test. It is not hard to, it is very hard to win consistently in the NFL and to consistently post winning records. And it's not something that should be ignored if the Steelers do wind up falling short because they dug themselves too deep a hole early on.
Whether they make the playoffs or not, Jacksonville, the Trevor Lawrence play over the last 7 weeks, what are we starting to see from him that we thought we were going to see when he entered the league?
Yeah, I think that's it. You're seeing a quarterback who has every bit of the skill set that you're looking for a Pro Bowl, All-Pro quarterback who can consistently take his team to the playoffs. I think that normally you would say even win or lose, it would be similar to the Steelers situation. This feels different. This Titans team is dead in the water, and to lose this game next week at home would be a real tough pill to swallow for
right.
the Jaguars
yeah.
and whatever the brightness of the future. But I think you see in this Peterson-Lawrence tandem what you expected to see from Lawrence as a rookie. The Urban Meyer thing threw everything off a year, but yet you have to feel great about where things are headed in Jacksonville. And if they don't pull this off, I would be surprised next week.
The Dolphins are really, really injury hamstrung right now, and especially a quarterback. But there's a larger conversation at play about Tua Tagovailoa. How do you read that and where that story is about the concussions that he's had this year, possibly getting a fourth one if he were to return?
Yeah, I think this is the only other player I can think of in this situation was Jahvid Best from the Lions years ago, who just kept getting concussions, and it became clear that for whatever reason, he couldn't play in the NFL. He couldn't sustain that kind of pounding. I don't know that Tua is there yet, but I would feel very trepidatious about letting him anywhere near a football field before the start of next season and before there's a really deep dive into his medical makeup and what damage has been done and where he is. I realize the Dolphins are in dire straits and desperate measures, especially after Bridgewater got hurt yesterday. But it just feels like something that has to be an enhanced protocol. You can't have every single hit that a quarterback takes become a referendum on whether the concussion protocol is being handled properly. And with a guy who, you know, you can't expect him to self-report the symptoms either. So there has to be extra scrutiny done to make sure that you're not putting him at risk simply by putting him on the football field.
Josh, great stuff as always. I really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for coming on as always.
Happy New Year to you guys as well.
You got it. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm with him on that. Eventually, this is what happens, right? We all know concussions occur. We know that a concussion can occur to anyone. But then there is a level, like you cross this sort of line as a player where that is what people are watching for all the time. And I think Tua has crossed that line. Where now when he plays, you watch him differently on every hit, like he just said, than any other player, right? Like Tom Brady's been in the league forever, but if he gets hit in the head, you're like, yeah, Tua. But Tua, you just kind of watch him now, and no matter what he does, no matter how what a great throw he made to Waddle or Tyreek Hill or whoever, there's still always going to be watching out for the hit that takes him out of the game, right? That's where he's crossed over now, and I think that's right. I don't know what that means. I don't want to make a statement on a guy's career, but I absolutely understand that now he's at that point where everyone's going to watch every single hit a defensive player makes on him from now on. Even in the next season, he could be known as the concussion quarterback. And that's too bad because there was a period of time where the Dolphins, you could make the case where, if not the best, one of the top three teams in the NFL playing on this this great level. And now they've lost five in a row. Their injuries all over the place. The quarterback position is down to Skylar Thompson because Teddy Bridgewater got hurt yesterday too. So their chances, you know, it's kind of, they got to beat the Jets. They got to play the Jets this weekend, and Jets have nothing to play for now. But they still are hanging on at 8-8. And when you would have locked them in, you would have locked them in not that long ago. All right, again on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That is Ron with two N's. We continue. It's Wake Up Call.